It is quite a different picture here of Peter, especially. I mean, do you catch the difference? The last time we observed, if you will, Peter here in worship, Peter had been silenced. In the face of the resurrection, what could Peter say? Especially as it is remembered by the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostle. Just prior to the resurrection, what is it that we remember of Peter? Peter, who followed Jesus after his arrest. Peter, who waited outside as Jesus was brought before the authorities. And in the face of intimidation, Peter did what? I don't know him, but I thought you did. No. I don't know the man. Three times, to his shame, to his eternal embarrassment. This is the picture we have of Peter, especially as it is portrayed in the Gospel of Luke. But then we have this morning's portrait of a man who is brought before authorities, of an unlearned man. You remember, he was what? A fisherman. He did not go to school to learn how to parse the law of Moses. And yet here he is in a very intimidating situation. Could you picture that? I am sure that when he and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, the council, that there was very obviously an us and them. Intentionally so, because that is how powers work. And they stood above, and he stood below. And yet, here we have Peter speaking. Well, let me read the next verse that I did not read a little bit earlier. Here in the Acts of the Apostles. It says, after he finished what he had to say, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus." The boldness. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Now, I mentioned that this is a part of a larger story. Let me just briefly tell you, if I could, what happened in the Acts of the Apostles, which is Luke the physician's way of remembering what happened after the resurrection. In the Acts of the Apostles, an amazing thing happened on the day of Pentecost. And on that particular day, in response to questions, Peter stood and for the first time preached, never before having done so. Sermon number one. A few days later, they were doing as they did every day. And they went to the temple, which is what their practice was at that point. And there, as they approached the temple, outside the entrance was a lame man who had been brought by his friends, brought with the intent of begging, having people pity and give so that he might live. And he did what he did to everyone, to Peter and John, his hands out, asking. And there were those memorable words, perhaps some of you recall them. Peter turned, and in the back of our minds, we know, having read some previous verses, that the disciples and everyone else in Jerusalem at that point were sharing everything with one another. So if they had been rich, they were no longer in the sense of personal pocketing money, but they were rich in other ways. And Peter turned to the man and he said, well, let me get those words exactly. He said, I have no silver or gold. Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And the man did. And as he stuck close beside Peter and John, as they went into the temple, others recognized that this person was the one who had always been begging outside the temple. And they were amazed and turned to Peter. And again, he preached. How many times did Peter deny? Three. We're coming up to sermon number three here. You should see some patterns here. There's purpose in how things are remembered. He had a lengthy sermon here, and people responded. And it was there in the middle of the people's response to that we have this morning's particular passage. But something has happened to Peter between his three-time denial and here is his third sermon, that Peter is no longer intimidated, but just stands and says what he knows. He preaches, which is what really preaching is. It's saying what you know. Sometimes it's a bit of a stretch as your faith muscles are stretching out. But you can only really speak that which you know. And here is Peter that has really been schooled, not just at Jesus' side through the journey to Jerusalem and the school of Jesus along the way, but also the school of silence, the school of the resurrection. In the story as we have received it in Luke's gospel, when word is spoken by the women of an empty tomb, Peter runs and witnesses, but does not speak. And a little bit later in Luke's gospel, when on that same day, those fellows on their way to Emmaus come back with strange words, their disciples who are telling those men on their way coming back from Emmaus about Jesus having seen, I mean Peter having seen Jesus. But he does not speak. There is silence. Intentionally, I believe, because there is a discipline as revealed in wisdom of there being a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. And with resurrection and with the upheaval of Pentecost, there's a time to just be. Now, how did this changeover happen in Peter? Moving through this time, what God was working in him Only really He can answer. But I ask of you the question, what intimidates you? What attempts to silence you? What keeps you from sharing what you know? Not necessarily what you don't know, but just sharing in word or deed your resurrection faith. What gets in the way? I think we all face it. You know, I mentioned one thing that intimidates us this morning. Did you hear me during the joys and concerns? That word, cancer. It is a very intimidating word whenever we hear it, especially in relation to somebody we know and love. It takes our breath away. It is like a Sanhedrin standing above us. My encouragement, do not be intimidated. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul, that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Whatever it is that seeks to intimidate us in life, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power. It's not power of a sword, but the power of a shepherd's staff. A spirit of power and of love, and to follow the King James at this point, of a sound mind. That's the difference, I think, in Peter here at this point. Peter, through the gift of the Spirit, through the gift of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, Peter has a clarity of mind. And that is what helps him to be bold. So bold, if I might continue the story, that the Sanhedrin, that the council, didn't know what to do with him. It says that they sent them away that they might talk, and they're saying, well, what's going on here? What will we do with these persons? And they spoke it over, and then they brought them back in, and they ordered them to shut up. What was that? To be silent. That's the ultimate intimidation, isn't it? To shut up. Close your mouth. Don't speak anymore. Don't do anything. Just get out of here. Peter has another sound mind moment. Clarity of mind. He says, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they are released. And from then on, they are a thorn in the flesh of the powers that be. Is it next week, Ellis? Ellis, we've asked to share about a sound mind moment in the life of this peculiar denomination called the Church of the Brethren. A time when there was clarity of vision following a very devastating world war. And for those of you who are not aware, our brother Ellis participated in that then new thing called Heifer Project. He was one of the seagoing cowboys. And he's going to tell a little bit about that next week. Bold words, but more bold actions. Resurrection times. Truly resurrection. As our forebearers and some of us were a part of helping rise from the ashes of a war, something new. We are called, brothers and sisters, to be bold. Easier said than done, I know. Not to fear, but to be empowered. Let me just finish off that particular story with the sort of on the same note in chapter 4 of Acts. They responded to the threat of the Sadducees and the others, you know, that saying, be silent. They responded to it with prayer. And they prayed. And when they had prayed, verse 31, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness.